Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Oh, wow, fancy.
Yeah.
And geez, doesn't it look a little too much like an engagement ring? Mike.
Let me see that.
I don't know how it happened. I was just doing the scavenger hunt, and then suddenly he got down on his knee, and there was a tiny house, and I think he might have asked me to marry him.
What? You think he what?
She said Mike. She thinks he might have asked.
No, he did. He definitely did.
What? Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
I'm going to kill him.
Kill him? Uh-oh. I've never whispered someone else's sentence before. That's concerning.
All right, it's Dave Player on 720 WGN. One of the funniest and most entertaining family comedies on television is ABC's The Middle, which will debut its ninth and final season this Tuesday at 7 Central. Also airs Encores on the Hallmark Channel in Freeform. It's one of the most underrated and best sitcoms on television. Actor Neil Flynn, who plays Father Mike Heck, was born on the south side of Chicago, grew up in Waukegan, attended Bradley University, cut his teeth in comedy at Second City, and has appeared in such films as Major League, The Fugitive, Mean Girls, Indiana Jones, Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs, as well as TV series Seinfeld, That 70s Show, NYPD Blue, 8 seasons on Scrubs, and joining us from the West Coast in the final season of The Middle is Chicago's very own Neil Flynn. What's up, Neil?
How are you?
I am.
I didn't realize I'd done all that stuff. You, it sounds pretty impressive when you read it off.
It really does. You should put that on your resume, man. That's some good stuff there.
I guess. You don't have to mention that in those movies, I have a small part in all of them.
There were starring roles. I have movie posters to prove it. You were on the front of that whole thing. That was fantastic. I remember you in every one of those movies. I remember you in every single one of those movies, especially The Fugitive. That was like all Chicago.
Yeah, it was. That was a guy told me once, he said, what did it feel like to make it so early? And I said, what do you mean, make it? And he said, well, The Fugitive.
Yeah.
I had to tell him that was one night of work.
Is that what it was?
Yeah, they did it in one night for maybe $500. I don't think that's making it.
But you know what? When you think about that movie is so, you know, there's only a few movies that really highlight Chicago as almost the star of the movie, and all the way straight through, that movie was it.
I agree. All parts of Chicago, too.
Absolutely.
I mean, I didn't recognize every neighborhood they were in, but they made good use of the city.
They did.
Yeah. It's a good movie, too. It holds up.
It does hold up. It's one of those you can jump in on cable at any time, no matter where you are in the movie, you know?
I know. I've done it.
Yeah.
Yeah, like Shawshank Redemption. If it's on, you leave it on.
You leave it on. That's right. So I got to tell you, my 12-year-old daughter, who watches The Middle with me, this is one of the few shows, I will tell you, that still to this day, we don't watch on delay. We don't watch it on our DVRs. It's the one thing my daughter demands that after dinner, we're all sitting in front of him watching because she loves the show. And she says to me, when it's over, what are we going to do? So, Neil, what are we going to do?
The same question. what am I going to do? Well, that's nice to hear. I'm glad. I hear that a lot from people. I agree. It is a show that a family can watch together.
Yeah.
That's a strength of the show.
I told her maybe we'll come out to L.A. We'll play some board games. We'll hang out with you or something on a Tuesday night next season.
Sure. Absolutely. Anytime.
Why not?
Just knock, and yeah, I'll be ready to go.
That's awesome.
Well, for her, it's probably been on for as long as she can remember.
Yeah. Her whole life. It's that show in Modern Family that she just loves watching all the time. And yeah, she was like 3-4 years old when we started sitting down and watching this. And I have to tell you, you know, not a lot of shows, Neil, have a full season to wind down a storyline and honor its past with a long goodbye, because so many of them are just cut short, or they find out weeks before that, yeah, this is going to be it. And you really, if there's going to have to be an end to the show, I'm glad it's going out this way with a full season to do it.
Yeah, I think we all are. There was no real hesitation. There was a question whether there'd be a season 9 or not, but it was kind of up to the people on the show rather than the network or the studio. And everyone wanted to do one more season, and mostly for that reason, so we can end on our terms and build toward the ending that we want. Well, I can't say me. I don't have a say in it. But the producers and the writers, they have a nice gradual, like you said, entire season to have the characters end up where they would like the audience to see the characters end up.
Well, too, and this is, so true of, the biggest sitcoms in television history is that chemistry on set and the people that you work with and Patricia Heaton and Charlie McDermott, Eden Sheeran, Attica Schaefer. I mean, the chemistry was pretty evident right in the first season. And I think that also reflects on why, the show has been on the air for as long as it has.
Yeah, well, something worked. And you always have to credit the writer, but there's so many factors that go into it, the direction and acting and the whole crew and everybody. And it just, in our case, fortunately, the combination was right. And, I think you're right. And we do get along very well. It's funny that the characters squabble so much. You might think that'd be a advantage to the actors being rubbing each other the wrong way too, but no, that's not the case. We get along well enough to pretend to not get along well.
Yeah, that's cool. That's cool. And some of this too, when you think about how long the show has been on, we've been able to see, kind of everybody grow up. And I think I've told you before, I love your relationship with daughter Sue on the set. She's, you're such a kind of, you get in these cringeworthy moments a lot as in character on the set, but Sue kind of always softens you up a little bit. And I think people don't realize that, like Charlie McDermott, he's like 27 years old. Eden is like 26.
A little less than that, but they're older than they're playing, but not quite that old. But they're 2 or 3 years older than what they're playing.
Yeah. But the relationship you have, again, must be great off screen as it is on screen, because you can see that how you guys really work well together.
Yes, I agree with that. We when we're not filming, we're still likely to meet up for lunch or something.
Sure.
And and catch up and I think the world of them. I'll continue to see them after we're done working together.
That's cool. And, it always reflects the struggles of real life. And from an economic standpoint, yours and Patricia's character, Mike and Frankie, deal with, on a regular basis, living paycheck to paycheck. There aren't a lot of sitcoms. There's not a lot of shows out there that really reflect that. And I know a lot of people are talking about the buzz of Roseanne returning to ABC early next year. And that kind of set the pace for that type of comedy. But I kind of put the middle right there as well. It's relatable. And nothing against Modern Family. I love that show. But I watched the premiere, the debut this week. And, they're on this, it looks like $1 million houseboat on a lake. And I personally can't relate to that. I can relate to walking into the Heck House, with the mismatched chairs and the dishes and just the kind of, camaraderie you guys have as a family.
Well, me too. I can relate to the Heck House a lot more than I can to a houseboat or whatever you said. I think you're right. It's some shows provide escapism, I suppose. Seeing rich people has kind of always been part of TV. But you come to think of it, so has, like, if you go back to, I'm going to show my age here, but the early TV shows, Father Knows Best or Donna Reed or something. They were pretty much regular people, although they weren't struggling for money, were they?
No, they weren't. Never.
Dad was always in a suit and tie, and they had a big staircase inside the front door going upstairs to a second floor. I didn't always know what a second floor was in a house. Second floor.
But it's funny you say those shows. There was a episode of Leave It to Beaver on that. I played on Father's Day because Beaver said to his dad, Dad, how come you only cook outside the backyard and Mom cooks in the kitchen? He goes, well, a woman's place is in the kitchen, son, and a father's place is in the backyard and blah, blah, blah. And I thought, well, yeah, maybe it was a little reflective of the times, but you'd get killed for even thinking that now,
Oh, my gosh. I'm surprised they actually said that. He said a woman's place is in the kitchen?
He said that. Hugh Beaumont.
Maybe that's where that saying started.
Maybe.
But I, wow, no, you certainly couldn't say that today.
No.
There's a lot of things you can't say.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. Now, you, even though the debut is coming up this week, you're probably six or seven episodes in already in filming and putting stuff together. When you guys got together that first show to do the table reads and stuff, did it feel kind of melancholy to everybody? Did everyone kind of look at each other like, this is it?
Well, I suppose so. This I tend to be not as sentimental as others. So there is that sort of talk, but... We had some sort of a panel in front of journalists, and they asked that, what are you going to miss most? And I said nothing and no one. But I really only said that because that's kind of what my character would say.
Yeah.
But that's not actually true. Of course I'll miss the people. I'll miss going to work. I'll miss just the environment. In this business, you don't rarely you work in the same place for 9 years.
Yeah.
And it also helps it's only 10 minutes from my house. I doubt that'll be the same on the next job.
But yeah.
Yeah, but no, I'll miss the people. And I'm sure as the season goes on and winds down, there'll be more of that feeling. And I'm going to try to avoid...
Too much emotion.
Too much what?
Too much emotion.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's kind of my modus operandi.
That's it. Looking back, and I don't want to sound too cliche, but you've had to have, I mean, after 9 years doing this, and you're absolutely right, not a lot of shows last that long, and not a lot of them these days when you look at the Amazons and the Netflix and these shows are doing 10 episodes for three seasons and they're done. You did 9 years of this show. You know, you must have some favorite moments or favorite scenes or favorite seasons, favorite guest stars on the show that, you know, really are memorable to you.
Yes, if I thought about it, yes. But it almost what also comes into play. I think in a few weeks we're going to shoot the 200th episode.
Wow,
which is kind of crazy. I know, yeah. I know. Shows celebrate their 100th.
Yeah,
and we're doing our 200th. It's really something. So the result of that is, of course, there's a lot of good memories and stuff. But the other side of that is that they all blend together.
Yeah.
You do week after week, you know, like if a show's coming out, like what's going to come on Tuesday, the premiere, I don't remember what it is. I don't know what.
Oh, really?
They're
blending together for you. Got it. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Hopefully not for the audience, but no, I don't remember, you know, what we shot last week because I have to learn today's lines, you know. But certainly we've had some guest stars that are very, that I enjoyed being around. I always liked when Norm MacDonald was on playing your brother.
Yeah.
It was always fun. And my dad, John, who plays my dad, he's a big Broadway. He's had a very long Broadway career, not so much on television, but he was always great.
That's cool.
Then they had a little run of Mary Tyler Moore alumni early on.
Yeah.
Ed Asner. Betty White.
Yep. I think you had Betty. Else. Yeah, you had Betty White. You had Marion Ross on there, I believe. Played a teacher, I think, in the school.
Did she? That would make sense.
I don't
remember that, but she's a perfect example of someone who might have appeared on the show.
Well, you could tell, even from a production standpoint, a lot of these people had nods to some of the classic sitcoms they grew up with, and I think we're around the same age. So, you know, growing up in the 60s, 70s, and seeing some of these classic shows, a lot of these people popped up on the middle, which is cool.
That's exactly what it was. I think it was wish fulfillment of the producers.
I think so too.
They hired some childhood favorites. Yeah. Nothing wrong with that.
No. Those are classics. No, I loved watching those episodes. So now here we are, Neil. We're back into Chicago Cubs. Of course, have clinched and ready to begin some postseason baseball in the Windy City. And a lot of folks are talking about, you know, their biggest concern, which is pitching issues, because, you know, we've had some injuries and some issues with, you know, with Lackey and Lester out for shoulder, and Arrieta with the hamstring, and Hendricks missed a month due to tendonitis and all this other stuff. What are your thoughts and concerns this year versus last year where we're at?
I would say the pitching is what I would. I didn't realize everybody was saying that. I thought I was smart and insightful to be saying I was worried about the pitching, but if everyone's saying it, then okay, never mind. Well, it doesn't seem it was a rougher ride this year, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It wasn't. I mean, it seemed
wasn't
like
a sure
people
thing.
Expected. No, it wasn't. It was like people expected them to win 100, 110 games or something, and it wasn't anything like that. It's more. I'm out here where the Dodgers play,
yeah.
And they had more that kind of season.
They're the Dodgers. Yeah, they're us last year. Absolutely.
Yeah, and the Cubs, it seemed like more of a struggle this year. But you know what? They know what they have to do, and they just had to get there by the end, and they did. And hopefully they can have some momentum heading into the postseason. Now, the good thing is that I'm certainly not overconfident. I don't think they are either.
No, I don't
hopefully
think anybody is. They're excited. But
yeah. And it's a great thing. I don't know if in my lifetime, have the Cubs ever been in the postseason 2 years in a row?
No, it's three years in a row. That's what everybody's kind of excited about. It's been since 1906 to the 1908 season that we've been 3 years in a row in postseason, because we were in postseason a couple years ago. We just got out pretty early.
Right. Yeah, I don't even remember it. They lost the first series, I assume?
Yeah.
For the wild card?
Yeah.
That's kind of how it's always been until last year. Well, you know, I guess you could say 84 was different, but
sure.
Until last year, the Cubs always seemed to make quick exits out of the playoffs, and the victory was just getting there.
Yeah.
But now, you know, we have a chance for more, and it's tremendously exciting.
Are there any?
I hope they do well, but there's a lot of strong teams out there, including the Dodgers, and now you got Cleveland.
Well, I was going to ask you that. Like, what are you concerned about as far as teams that we're going to play? I think the Dodgers obviously might be one of them in Cleveland. Absolutely.
And that's if we get by Washington, right?
Right. Yeah.
Aren't they first up?
That's right. Yeah.
That's speaking of pitching. That's tough, man.
Yeah.
I'll be very impressed if they get past Washington. Okay. They got a lineup, and they got Scherzer and Strasburg.
Yep.
To start.
Yeah.
And that's. Well, I hope hope our guys are healthy.
My oldest son is 16. He works for the Cubs. He's a ambassador for the team, so he's helping people get in ticketing and security and all that other good stuff. And it's funny because they ask you for your schedule through November, so they're hopeful. You can tell, right?
yeah. Well, they, we did the Rookie of the Year in Chicago. Remember that movie?
Yeah,
the kid that's the Cubs. And then back then, we started shooting in October, I guess, early October. We were there the last home game of the season.
Yeah, October was probably pretty free.
Exactly. That's what I was going to say. We were there the last day of the season so that they could get some crowd shots.
Yeah.
And then after that, the place was ours.
Yeah.
And they knew it long beforehand. They knew that it would be available, the day after the season ended.
Right.
But that's not the case anymore.
No, it's not. Have you been to a game this season yet?
I went to a couple out here.
Okay. Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, these days when they come to the Dodgers, I tend to get there. And they have a little gathering of, ex-Chicagoans that we tend to all meet up.
There is a group, yeah.
A few dozen people. It's a pretty good deal. The Cubs have gotten involved in that. Whether they... made it official that Time Records will come out and get a box.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, and that makes you feel like a big shot.
So that's the Newharts, the Joe Montanas, the Belushis, all those guys.
Almost exactly that. Bob Newhart has been there.
Yeah,
Mantegna, Bill Peterson, maybe.
I will tell you something. When you come back here, and hopefully you'll make it to a playoff game, what you would be shocked. The inside of the field looks beautiful, but the plaza, the park that they built outside the field in that crappy gravel parking lot that was there for decades, probably for as long as you can remember, is the most amazing experience. And then they finally, because Harry Carey's always had a statue there, they finally built a restaurant in the plaza named after Jack Brickhouse, which is cool. That's who we grew up with, right? I mean, that was our
game. I've seen shots of it when the game's on. They'll show shots of it outside, and I can't tell where it is exactly, but it looks great.
Yeah, it's Addison and Clark, so it's literally on Clark, where the McDonald's was and that little crappy donut shop and whatever. It's all that's gone.
Yeah.
It's amazing. I mean, you'd be shocked standing out there. It's cool stuff.
Wow. That's Well, even I was in the neighborhood, not too long ago, and even that has changed with the. What do you call them? Rooftop seats.
Yeah, yeah.
all that stuff. It's a whole different vibe to it. For the good, I think.
Absolutely. It's a long time coming. Well, I hope to see you back in Chicago for some of these playoffs.
I'll be there before too long.
All right. Sounds good, buddy. Well, you can catch the very funny Neil Flynn along with Patricia Heaton, Charlie McDermott, Eden Shear, Atticus Schaefer in the final season premiere of The Middle, which is this Tuesday night at 7 Central on ABC. Neil, always fun talking The Middle and baseball with you.
You too. Good talking to you. Take care.